Thursday. Today is May the 15th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to start off taking a look at what's going on north of the border, talking about up in Canada, some concerns that their biodiesel industry is raising with their government. After that, we're going to look at some trends in organic farming. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, the Canadian government rejected claims by the only renewable diesel producer in Canada that U.S. producers were injuring their industry by dumping subsidized fuel across the northern border. Canada's first renewable diesel company, Tidewater Renewables LTD, alleged in a complaint at the end of 2024 that the U.S. imports are hurting its business. The Canadian International Trade Tribunal disagreed. The Canadian International Trade Tribunal today determined that the evidence does not disclose a reasonable indication that the dumping and subsidizing of renewable diesel from the United States of America have caused injury or are threatening to cause injury to the domestic industry, the body said in its ruling. Therefore, the tribunal terminated its preliminary injury inquiry. Tidewater CEO Jeremy Bain said in a statement that despite the ruling, the company maintains that U.S. imports are hurting the Canadian industry. Our view remains that the facts support a finding that unfair trade practices by the United States have caused a flood of subsidized and dumped renewable diesel into Canada, Bain said. This flood of imports has significantly injured Tidewater, currently the sole Canadian producer of renewable diesel. The Canadian market for renewable diesel imports is estimated at more than $1.4 billion annually. Tidewater officials expressed confidence in a March news release that provisional duties would be imposed at the U.S.-Canadian border within 90 days. Tidewater said it anticipated duties valued between $1.89 and $3.03 per gallon of renewable diesel imported from the United States. The issuance of the tribunal's decision ends the investigation arising from complaints filed by the corporation with the Canadian Border Service Agency back on December 30th of last year, the Canadian government said. Now, the tribunal said it is expected to release its reasons for its decisions coming up on May the 23rd. Tidewater Renewable said it was, quote, carefully reviewing its options in response to the tribunal's decision with, quote, the support of its external trade law counsel. The company said it may decide to take legal action or to file an amended complaint with the Canadian government. In its original complaint, Tidewater said the results of an increase in the volume of dumped and subsidized imports from the U.S. The company suffered material injury, including lost market share, lost sales, price undercutting, price depression, reduced profitability and reduced cash flow, return on investment, and the ability to raise capital. This quick reminder from Ohio Farm Bureau, the AgriPower Leadership Advocacy Program applications are now open. Now in 2025, Ohio Farm Bureau Federation will select individuals to participate in AgriPower Class 16. That's a leadership and advocacy development program, which will consist of 7 multi-day institutes. There's 18 total days. AgriPower is a program of the Ohio Farm Bureau and designed for farmers and agribusiness professionals. Now AgriPower educates, empowers, and connects Ohio's agriculture's rising leaders in every sector through a 12-month cohort-based program. Class members will be able to leverage strengths to maximize individual influence and leadership opportunities, communicate effectively with stakeholders, consumers, and policymakers, explain the current issues in food, agriculture, and the environment, outline the legislative process at state and federal levels, and create strong personal networks within and beyond Ohio agriculture. Now, through personal development workshops, issue expert speakers, industry tours, and a class project, AgriPower Class 16 will be equipped to positively impact the industry and community. 2 of the institute sessions will be held out of state, one of those in Washington, D.C., and the other still to be determined, to help class members gain a valuable understanding of national and global issues. Now, individuals may nominate themselves or have their nominations sponsored by their respective county farm bureau, other ag organization, or employers, and applications must be submitted by August the 1st. Now, for complete application details, a schedule of sessions, and more information about the program, tuition, and scholarship opportunities, visit ofbf.org/agripower. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to make sort of a dramatic change in direction. We were talking, obviously, about what's going on in Canada, some of the complaints about biodiesel dumping. Now we want to look at organic farming and some of the trends we see here in the U.S. The recent USDA Ag Outlook Forum provided an opportunity to study some recent trends in the country's organic farm and food industries, and USDA's Rod Bain has an update.
What is the latest snapshot of the nation's organic ag sector? USDA economist Sharon Rasip-Skorobiansky provided the look at this year's Ag Outlook Forum. She starts with latest annual sales figures for 2023 provided by the Organic Trade Association.
When we're looking at it in nominal terms, we see that retail sales increased from $67.4 billion to $69.7 billion. But once we account for inflation, we see that retail sales decreased by just 0.6% for 2023.
Indicating continued declines in sales from the peak in 2020, yet at a lower rate.
There are three categories that experienced increases in 2023. These are adjusted for inflation, so these are increases in the volume of sales. And the three categories are the grocery category. This is a wide category with products across the grocery aisle, like nut butters, shelf-stable soups, or dry breakfast goods. Also increases in the dairy and egg category and the meat, poultry, and seafood category.
In terms of acreage trends for organic agriculture, Skorobiansky says Argus data indicates.
In recent years, we have seen drops in total organic land, led mainly by decreases in pasture and rangeland, but we also did see a decrease in field crop and non-field crop acreage in 2023.
Yet, mid-February data from Argus reveals
a reversal in pasture and rangeland and in field crop acreage. Total organic land is up to 7.9 million acres, up from 7.7 million acres in 2023.
Turning to the trade side of U.S. organic agriculture,
organic imports are increasing because we're also tracking more organic products. At the same time, the imports of some very high-value commodities like blueberries have been increasing as well during the past 10 years.
Skorobiansky notes our nation imports organic commodities for several reasons.
We import commodities that we can't grow, that is, the United States is not suited for production in much of the United States. So, for example, tropical fruits like bananas, which we import from Ecuador. We also import commodities that we do grow domestically, but domestic demand surpasses supply, like soybeans, which we import from Argentina, as well as commodities that we're importing to keep a consistent supply during the off season, like blueberries, which we import from Peru and Mexico.
As for U.S. organic exports,
we have fewer organic specific export codes called Schedule B, administered by the Census Bureau. Our tracked exports have been fairly stable since 2011, with a slight upward trend.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.